In 2015, Ireland voted yes to marriage equality. In 2011, Obama said Is Fadhair Linn in Dublin. To celebrate 75 years in Ireland, Volkswagen and RTE's On This Week series are reliving iconic national moments. Visit your local Volkswagen dealer for the 75th birthday sales event, May 19th to 24th, with competitive finance available for a limited time. Volkswagen, 75 years of driving memories. Explore more at rte.ie/onthisweek. T's and C's apply. Volkswagen Financial Services Ireland Limited is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
I spent my life fighting for what I believe in. For justice, for equality, for an end to poverty. And I'm not about to stop now.
Never stop fighting for fairness. Leave a gift to Oxfam in your will. Search Oxfam Ireland Gifts in Wills or call 01672762.
RT News and Radio 1 with Shane McGowan. Good evening. The EU is to review its ties with Israel, citing the untenable situation in Gaza. The bloc's top diplomat, Kaya Kallas, said Brussels was acting after a strong majority of its 27 member states backed a move to assess whether Israel is in breach of human rights obligations in the EU-Israel Association Agreement. The Netherlands spearheaded the latest push over a year after Ireland, together with Spain, failed to convince the bloc to suspend the accord. The move has been welcomed by the Taoiseach Simon Harris.
We finally have the potential spectre of actually trade action, trade sanctions being taken at a European level. So this is a very significant moment. I really expect now the European Union, the European Commission, to act with speed on what is now a clear wish of the majority of member states of the European Union.
The UN has said no humanitarian aid has been distributed so far in Gaza today. Israel said 93 aid trucks entered Gaza after an 11-week blockade. However, the supplies have not yet arrived at UN warehouses and delivery points from the crossing. The global spokesperson for UNICEF, James Elder, said almost 1,000 children have been killed in Gaza over the last 2 months.
There are children who have starved in Gaza, and we're talking not about children who are a long way away from help. We're talking about children who are bordering a country, you know, where people are eating in nice restaurants. We're talking about all the aid those children need at a border. We can save these children if Israel allows us to do it. This is what UNICEF has been doing time and again from north to south of the Gaza Strip. We know exactly what to do.
The EU and the UK have announced a wave of new sanctions against Russia, including a clampdown on its so-called shadow fleet of oil tankers. Ukrainians are said to be unconvinced by the prospect of imminent peace following Donald Trump's two-hour phone call with Vladimir Putin yesterday. The Russian president made no commitment to pause fighting, announcing only a vague proposal to work on a memorandum. Gardaí are currently at the scene of a serious road traffic incident at Ballyconnell in County Cavan. The incident took place on the N87 near Black Ridge roundabout, south of the town centre, shortly after 7 o'clock this evening. It's understood a young child and an e-scooter were involved and at least one person was airlifted to hospital. The road remains closed and local diversions are in place.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Looking for lower cost heating? Why not upgrade to an award-winning HVO biofuel ready Grant Vortex condensing boiler? Visit grant.ie.
Heavy thundery showers will continue in places with patchy rain and drizzle over the south of the country. It'll become mainly dry by morning. Clear spells developing, but mist and fog will develop in places with lowest temperatures between 4 and 9 degrees. That's all from the newsroom for the moment.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Will a review of the EU-Israel Association Agreement provide the leverage for a ceasefire and aid to Gaza? Up to 25,000 children could be waiting more than 6 months for an assessment of need by the end of the year. Everybody agrees it's not acceptable. Less agreement on solutions. And the country's prisons are severely overcrowded. Is the answer to build more jails? We'll have all of that and more on tonight's Late Debate. Get in touch with us on any of the above questions. Text us on 51551. WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 2:32. Find us on Blue Sky at Late Debate RTE. You can watch the programme on rte.ie/Radio 1, or you can tune in on the RTE News channel after prime time. Now, the panel for tonight's programme are Padraig O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork North Central, Claire Curran, Sinn Féin TD for Roscommon Galway and spokesperson for Agriculture and Rural Affairs, Nessa Cosgrove, Labour Senator and spokesperson for Rural and Community Development in the Gaeltacht, as well as for Workers' Rights, and Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Well, as you heard in the news there, there are moves afoot in the European Union to review the EU-Israel Association Agreement. That's the basis for the barrier-free trade between Israel and the European Union. You recall that Ireland and Spain had made moves to call for a review on that. There was no reply to their call, but a new effort spearheaded by the Netherlands looks like it has had more success, with the EU foreign policy chief Kaja Kallas committing to putting it forward for a review. Article 2 of the European Union, the EU-Israel trade agreement states that, quote, relations between the parties as well as provisions of the agreement itself shall be based on respect for human rights and democratic principles, which guides their internal and international policy and constitutes an essential element of this agreement. Emphasis there, obviously, for the purposes of this being on human rights, for the purposes of providing aids and compliance with international law there as well. We're going to hear first, you heard a snippet of it in the bulletin there, but let's hear a fuller clip of the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris, on this very subject.
Ireland and Spain have been calling for this action, have been calling for a review of the EU-Israel Association Agreement since back in 2024. That has been a lonely place diplomatically for a significant period of time, but we've been making the case consistently to other member states that Europe can't sit idly by, it can't just issue words of condemnation. It actually has to take clear action to help bring about a ceasefire, stop the killing, and get into a political situation where we can see a two-state solution. So now you finally have the potential spectre of actually trade action, trade sanctions being taken at a European level. So this is a very significant moment. I really expect now the European Union, the European Commission, to act with speed on what is now a clear wish of the majority of member states of the European Union. And that's a phrase we simply couldn't say only days ago. So it's been a significant period of intense diplomatic engagement.
And that was, as you heard, the Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Harris. The EU High Representative on Foreign Affairs is Kaja Kallas. Here's what she had to say.
I think what it tells is that the countries see that the situation in Gaza is untenable. And what we want is to really help the people. And what we want is to unblock the humanitarian aid so that it will reach the people there. The trucks are behind the borders. There are thousands of trucks. And like I said, the 100 trucks that came in, it's a welcome step, but it's not enough because the needs are much, much bigger. This humanitarian aid is very much financed by the European Union, and that's why the member states are also very keen on sending this message that the suffering of the people is untenable.
Kaja Kallas, the EU High Representative on Foreign Affairs. We're joined on the line by RTE News Europe editor Tony Connolly. Tony, good evening to you.
Good evening, Colm.
The Israelis, for their part, are keen to put the emphasis on the fact that the EU-Israel Association Agreement hasn't been suspended. Ireland saying it's significant that this review is even progressing. How significant is it?
I mean, I think it really reflects a very big swing in attitudes, in the past week. And I suppose the circumstances are different to last year, when Leo Varadkar and Pedro Sanchez, the then Taoiseach and Spanish Prime Minister, wrote to Ursula von der Leyen calling for a review of the association agreement on the basis that Article 2 was being breached by Israel, the human rights clauses. That the whole year that it took for that letter to have any meaningful culmination in a diplomatic sense was basically down to the fact that the key countries like Germany, Austria, Hungary, Czech Republic are all staunch supporters of Israel, and it meant that there was just never a consensus at the level of foreign ministers for this to be taken up and progressed. that has changed. And I think because it's not really about Israel versus Hamas. It's about the fact that Israel is and has been denying basic humanitarian aid, and there's just a catastrophic response to that. And I think that has really changed the timbre of the debate. And I think as well, the fact that it was the Netherlands that brought this forward, the Dutch foreign minister on May 6th writing to Kaya Kallas saying, look, we have to get back to this idea of reviewing the association agreement. The Netherlands has always been a staunch supporter of Israel, but that obviously had the dial had shifted, and that, I suppose, allowed more countries to come in behind this fresh initiative, even though 9 countries again tonight did vote against reviewing the association agreement. But I think just the sheer horror of what is going on in Gaza. Of course, people will say there was enough horror last year to go around, but I suppose the way it's being framed at the moment, you know, a basic denial of food and medicine for children, the prospect of thousands of babies dying because of starvation and other problems, that has really changed the nature of the debate and has pushed the consensus now into a clear majority, as Kaya Kallas said, a strong majority for action at EU level to look at trade relations with Israel.
So we heard Simon Harris there saying there's the potential spectre of trade sanctions. There is, as you say, a majority of EU states pushing for this review. But Germany and Italy, I'm reading reports that they were against this review. They're two large states. So are the numbers there to do anything effective off the back of a review if there was action called for on foot of this?
Well, this is the somewhat hybrid nature of how foreign policy is managed at EU level. In certain formations like the Foreign Affairs Council, that's 27 foreign ministers, foreign policy is such an essential part of national sovereignty that each country has a veto. But the European Commission has exclusive competence for trade, and trade does not carry a veto. It's what we call a qualified majority vote.
So that's two thirds of the countries and two thirds of the EU population.
60% of the population. Yeah, there's a sort of a key that explains a qualified majority vote. So if the Commission now goes ahead and assesses whether or not Israel is in breach of Article 2 of the Association Agreement, they could then decide that would require sanctions and trade sanctions, and that would be a qualified majority vote. So that could move fairly quickly if the steps are followed. It's not clear yet if that's how quickly it'll be, or you know whether the Commission will have that finding. But the point has been made that last year, even though things didn't get very far on foot of the Irish and Spanish initiative, the EU's special representative for human rights is a Swedish diplomat. He did carry out an analysis of what was going on in Gaza and the West Bank, and he concluded that Israel was in breach of international law and human rights law. But that, again, that wasn't enough to really move the dial at foreign ministers' level. But today you do have a clear majority, 17 countries in favour of action, 9 against. So, you know, things have changed, and we'll see now what follows.
Okay, Tony Connolly, thanks very much for joining us on that. We do just have a statement to hand breaking from the Government Press Office. It's a statement by the Taoiseach Micheál Martin on foot of this EU-Israel Association Agreement. It reads, the decision to review the EU-Israel Association Agreement to examine compliance with human rights announced today by High Representative Kaya Kallas is one I strongly welcome. Together with Spain, Ireland first called for this step in February 2024. Since then, many thousands of Palestinians have been killed and maimed in a brutal military operation, the brunt of which has been borne by the innocent civilian population. Thousands more are at the brink of starvation, with the UN warning that 14,000 babies could die in the next 48 hours if aid doesn't reach them. Israel must know the world is watching and that we will not stand idly by. It cannot act with impunity against all international humanitarian laws and norms. Ireland will work to ensure that the review is taken forward as quickly as possible and that its conclusions are acted upon. We must stop this war. We need an immediate ceasefire, the release of all hostages and unimpeded access for humanitarian aid. Now, it's, I suppose, a departure from normal practice to read a government statement out in full, but it's just to give our panel here the benefit of listening to that, because, as I say, it is just breaking and just coming to hand. I'll reintroduce the panel here. Padraig O'Sullivan, Fianna Fáil TD for Cork North Central, Claire Curran, Sinn Féin TD for Roscommon Galway, Nessa Crosgrove, Labour Senator, and Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. To you first, Padraig O'Sullivan. The moves tonight at European level and that statement by the Taoiseach, your reaction?
Yeah, I think first of all it's significant. And as you've said, and as Tony said, you know, we're waiting a long time for this. And both Ireland and Spain, and to be fair, Slovenia as well, over the last number of months, have actively tried to pursue this. It's unfortunate that it's taken this long. Who knows, in hindsight, how many lives might have been saved or how Israel's actions might have been affected if this had been implemented earlier. But at the same time, I welcome it initially. And I think yesterday, after Britain, Canada and France's declaration in relation to taking firmer actions against France, I'm hoping that collective action from all those countries and the EU will lead to a significant result over the coming weeks.
OK. Claire Curran?
Yeah, look, I hope that at long, long last, this may actually be a turning point. It is, of course, long overdue. There has been a lot of talk and a lot of lamenting in terms of the situation in Gaza. There has been a lot less action, I would say, and that has been a cause of concern as we've watched the scenes unfold in Gaza. I think to see scenes of children with pots and pans trying to just scrape a bit of food here and there, I mean, it's really hard to watch those scenes, and I hope that we will now see a turning point. This has been long overdue. But look, it is just a review of the trade agreement. And I mean, at the end of the day, human rights clauses are there for a reason. They're not there to lengthen a document. They're there for a reason. And it's taken far too long for this to be looked at. And that's really, really unfortunate, because people have died and they're dying every day of the week.
Nessa Cosgrove.
Yeah, it is very welcome, but not before time. You know, this has been, we've been caught. I suppose Ireland did take that brave move back in February 2024, but it wasn't enough, you know, and it wasn't enough. And hopefully, I think that, you know, it's finally that people are beginning to see, and that Europe is beginning to stand up, that the respect for humanitarian rights, or humanitarian law, or democratic principles, that Israel just can't get away with what they're doing, you know, and they've been getting away with it for so long. And they're, you know, very obviously in breach of international law for the last, you know, for as long as, you know, as this has been going on. And, you know, it's finally, I think, something is actually going to come out of it.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Simon Harris, Sarah McGuinness, is describing Ireland as having been in a lonely place along with Spain since that call was made last year. But potentially with shifts at European level, diplomatically looking at the area of trade, there might be greater impetus for the Occupied Territories Bill.
That was my first thought exactly, looking at this. Like, Europe is at a moment of reckoning in itself, in that we are facing numerous threats on multiple sides. And I suppose the re-election of Donald Trump has really kind of made Europe stand to attention. And I suppose look at its values and how much it is willing to stand up for itself and other nations. I think that, as Paul touched on, the deal with the UK, the signalling from the UK that it's paused its trade negotiation with Israel, Canada and France following suit. I think that these moves have kind of put trade back on the table as a tool of trying to stop Israel in what's going on in Gaza. Simon Harris has said he's going to draft the Occupied Territories Bill before the summer recess. I think it's kind of up to everyone now to kind of make sure that that does happen, given the movement that we've seen and I suppose the kind of mindset change that we've seen in terms of trade.
OK, let's get into the business of the Dáil today, because assessment of need for people who are seeking services to meet additional needs was being debated all day in the Dáil today. Sarah, you might take us through why this was being specifically debated in the Dáil today, or at least what provided the backdrop, not least the protest that was going on and some of the figures that were mentioned.
Yeah, so as I think everyone would be aware, disability has kind of become a very hot topic in the Dáil. I suppose the election kind of shone a light on the numerous gaps and the kind of public frustration in the disability sector, especially where children are concerned. So as you touched on there, Cara Darmody, who is a teenage campaigner, she's 14 years of age, lots of listeners might know her firstly from her activism, but also she was the youngest student ever to sit a Leaving Cert maths paper 2 years ago. She is doing a 50-hour protest outside the Dáil. But on the back of that, there were figures provided to Alan Kelly of Labour, which showed that 15,000 children are waiting on assessment of needs at the moment, and the HSE are warning that that figure could climb to 25,000 by the end of the year. Further detail showed that 93% of children had not received their assessment of need within the 6 month time frame that they are legally entitled to. So in, I suppose, the kind of on the backdrop of this, Sinn Féin and Labour and the Soc Dems all created this bill that was put forward today, a motion that was put forward in Sinn Féin's private member's bill time on assessment of needs. And in that, Mary Lou called on the Dáil earlier this evening, called on the Dáil to note that children are legally entitled to assessment of their health and education needs under the Disability Act of 2005, and that assessment must take place within 6 months. She called on the Dáil to note that the law is being broken with respect to the 15,296 children whose assessment of needs is overdue. And basically, she kind of called on the government to set a date as to when this issue will be resolved.
It set the theme for the day at Leaders' Questions today. Mary Lou McDonald, the Sinn Féin leader, was talking about this, and she concentrated on, you know, we know that 15,296 people are waiting more than 6 months, but she went into some of the detail on the times they are actually waiting. Let's hear from that.
One mother got a letter on Friday to acknowledge her application for assessment of needs and was informed that the waiting list is in excess of 3 years. Another told me her son is on the list for an appointment which has been cancelled over and over again. Another, whose daughter got a letter saying that it will be between 24 and 33 months before she will be seen, and this child is already on the list for over a year. In the North Inner City, the waiting list would make your eyes water, and it's even worse in Cabra. And even then, when you get your assessment of needs, the fight continues, the fight for therapies, for school place, for very, very basic services. Taoiseach, there is a legal requirement on you to provide an assessment of needs within 6 months, and you have broken that over and over again. How is it that children are so badly failed? Why is it that people with disabilities are so badly failed?
And that was Mary Lou McDonald. Now, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin was answering a question from the Social Democrats, Cian O'Callaghan, about the compliance with the legal requirement to do an assessment in 6 months. Here's what he had to say.
The HSE is not in a position to fulfil the law right now. You know that and I know that. So, and we have to respond to enable us to get therapy services to children as effectively, optimally as we can. And that is our agenda, to use the resources we have for children who need services. That's what existing resources, how we add to those resources through recruitment and retention, and increasing the number of therapy places within our third level colleges, to work on therapy assistance, more greater provision there. But we have to, as a society, work smarter in terms of utilising the resources that are there right now in terms of therapists for the benefit of children.
Okay, that was the Taoiseach answering Cian O'Callaghan. Patrick Sullivan, just the statement of the Taoiseach there to the Dáil, it came up again and again. In effect, the HSE, in its inability to provide an assessment of need within 6 months, will be in breach of the law for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and just from the outset, look, I spent 15 years as a school teacher. I sat for 5 years on the Education Committee in the last Dáil, and while the Autism Committee was established as well. I've sat on that. So, look, to be fair, what right across the House, I sat during the statements tonight and during leaders' questions today, right across the House, we all know what the problems are. We all know the difficulties that are there. We can each point to our own CHO. I can reflect on my own. I think there's vacancy rates of something like 60% in terms of posts for therapists. They're the difficulties that we're tasked with. What we need to do now going forward, I think, is actually to come up with a few solutions how we can address that. I've always said, and I've said it consistently for some time, that the clinical model we have of doing, you know, assessments of needs that are, you know, medically based and clinically based, perhaps we need to start now looking out. I point to the Rainbow Club consistently in Cork, and I did so today in my speaking slot in the Dáil.
Just maybe explain that.
Yeah, so sorry, the Rainbow Club is a charity in Cork that operates basically therapy services for 1,300 children all around Cork City and the hinterland, and you don't require a diagnosis to actually avail of that service. And I know Nessa will be familiar with them too. And it's a model, as far as I'm concerned, about how we need to do disability therapies into the future. And as I said, there's no requirement to have a diagnosis. And I think that we're too caught up with, you know, putting people into boxes, getting, you know, going through waiting lists, which seem inexorable and which seem, unfortunately, to have no end date.
Okay, well,
I think we need to focus on the therapies more.
Okay, we'll come back to you on this as well. But Claire Curran, that figure of 25,000 by the end of the year was also provided to you in a parliamentary question. But what we had in effect today was the Taoiseach saying the reality is the HSE is going to continue in breach of the law indefinitely until such time as CDNTs and indeed schools can be given therapists in order to provide people with services. But, you know, the completion of assessments of need, that's going to continue for some time to come with no real firm end date in sight.
Yeah, and I think his comments today just reflect an incredible response from the Taoiseach. It was as if he's just walked in and this issue has just appeared. I mean, the waiting lists have more or less been increasing since 2010, and issues, if you look back at the Dáil record, have been raised since 2010 in terms of the assessment of need and the waiting lists. And this attitude of government and the HSE to more or less now be saying, oh, well, perhaps we need to change the law. And we all remember back in 2022, there was that High Court decision that claimed that, and very much stated outright, that the government were breaking the law in terms of this preliminary assessment the HSE had set up, and it basically allowed the waiting list to look like it was falling. The HSE ticked the box to say this preliminary assessment was done, and parents were very much codded in terms of understanding that this was the assessment of need complete. So why
did they place too onerous a burden on the HSE, though? Because it's from that the 90-hour assessment requirement comes.
I think that assessment is so important. It's one of very few rights a child has when it comes to disability services. There's no rights in terms of access to therapies or anything else. That is a really important right. And I think, why aren't the HSE and the government saying, OK, we have an issue here, what can we do? We've no workforce plan. CARA's fund isn't funded enough. Like, they're on the minister in response today, and I was there for the statements and the PMB that we brought forward as a cross party opposition motion. She spoke about the 2,800 assessments that will take place this year on the €10 million fund they've put forward. That is a drop in the ocean when you look at possibly 25,000 assessment needs at the end of this year. But the attitude should be, what can we do in terms of workforce? Not, oh, how can we change the law, or how can we manoeuvre a way around this? Deal with the issue, sort the workforce, and put more money into CARA's fund. There are two things that could be done tomorrow.
Nessa Cosgrove.
Yeah, like, I was amazed by Micheál Martin's response as well, because it's not like, it's like as if he was acting like it happened overnight. I mean, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael effectively have been in government for the last 10 years, and they've seen it. We've seen it. There's protests outside school about parents can't get their children to school. So it's not just about getting the assessment of need. It's about the follow-up service, the therapeutic services. Like, so I suppose, like, even in my own area, we'll say the West, Northwest, there's 791 children waiting for an assessment at the moment, and in Donegal it's like 290. It's way above that it should be. So, like, it's but I think the problem is as well is that, you know, there has to be a solution based, and I suppose I've worked it as a youth worker and a youth liaison worker in schools before I got elected for 17 years, and I could see it then that Section 39 and Section 38 workers, there's no parity with the pay parity with the HSE.
So these are non-governmental organisations that provide health services.
Health services and are part of the Children Disability Network teams, and there is no pay parity, and we have been crying out for this you know, since 2010. And so that's why there's a problem with recruitment of staff going into these areas. There's no peer parity with the HSE. And there has to be an intergovernmental approach, like looking at, you know, having more college places, you know, are the, like, that's based on supply and demand. And obviously the supply isn't there because the demand of people want, you know, there's not enough graduates coming out. So I think it has to be a very much intergovernmental department looking at higher education, disability, health and schools, education. They all need to be working together, because even when people get the assessment of need, then they're waiting for months to get a statement of service. And then again, they're waiting months for therapeutic
intervention. We will come back to that issue. But Pádraig O'Sullivan, the you know, your party, as you said yourself, you know, you sat in the previous Dáil. Your party has been in government for over 5 years, and the waiting lists have got worse over that time.
Yeah, and I think, look, again, it's easy to try and distance ourselves from it. We have to face reality here, and like what the situation has unfolded is not acceptable. And I don't think there's any government TD here that will stand over what's going on. But the issues that we're having around workforce planning that Nessa highlighted there, you know, it's fine as well for us to say that, you know, sort out the workforce issues. But the reality is, when you're speaking about vacancy rates, like I've just quoted my own CHO, and those rates kind of vary right across the country, but they're considerable. Their vacancy rates are between 40 and 60%. This isn't something that's unfortunately going to be able to be resolved overnight. It's going to take a number of years. I was listening to Minister Lawless yesterday and again Mr. Foley today. They have put out a roadmap now for the addition of more places at third level to go into those therapist positions into the future. But I fundamentally believe that we need to look at the model. The model, as I said earlier, that we have based on, you know, the rigid requirement for an assessment, and that many of the therapists that are already in situ seem to spend most of their time doing those assessments. I think we need to try and release as many of them as we can.
How do you know what a child needs, though, if an assessment isn't done?
Well, you're dealing with their educators, you're dealing with their family, you're trusting people that are dealing with them day to day. As I said, I referenced one charity earlier. They would prioritise the children on the basis as they present themselves. Ultimately, every child deserves an assessment and deserves it within the timeline that's there under legislation. But it is an unfortunate reality when you see that 93%. It's just an unfortunate fact. We as a state and the HSE have failed consistently to meet those targets. And that's why I do fundamentally believe that the Taoiseach is right in saying that we need a review.
Claire Curran, if the therapists are tied up doing spending their hours doing assessments, then the waiting list for services is going to be longer. So it's a kind of a catch-22, isn't it? Does something need to be done on the assessment side to free up people to do services in the short term while greater staffing has been brought on stream?
I think the priority now has to be to clear the backlog, essentially the 15,296 children that are on the waiting list, and we need to build and use private capacity. Unfortunately, we have to use private capacity to do that. And I mean, there are things the government can do. I was contacted by a speech and language therapist in County Roscommon in March. She trained, did her master's in Scotland. She came back. She's 10 months now at home. She's a fully qualified speech and language therapist, and she is 10 months at home because she's waiting for CURU registration so she can actually work as a speech and language therapist. So, I mean, there are blocks that are there that could be very easily removed when you think of a therapist sitting at home wanting and willing to work, fully qualified, but unable to work because she's waiting months and months and months on this recognition. I mean, her qualification is from England. Surely we can say, well, qualifications within Europe and England, we can fast track them. They've done it for occupational therapy. They haven't done it for speech and language. There are things that can be done, but I would be really concerned if there was a move here to take away that only existing legal requirement for children with additional needs when it comes to that assessment of need. And I think we should be looking at what can we do to get the child the assessment of need, not what can we do to change the law here that actually could leave children in a much more vulnerable situation. We know there's 80,000 plus children on the primary care lists. Many of them are waiting years for basic therapies. So I would be very concerned as to where those lists would go if we just abandoned it in terms of the assessment of need. College places are a big issue. 30 places for speech and language in UL, nowhere near enough. It's a 4-year course. So if the government now are talking about expanding places, like that's 4 years later before they're coming through. All it's right. Just not good enough, and it's too late.
Okay, Nessa Cosgrove, in terms of ramping up the recruitment into the sector and getting the numbers in, has Labour had a look at this? And if so, what are the solutions?
Well, I would agree with Claire that we need, like, we need to bring in the workforce from other jurisdictions that have been trained in other colleges or other training. You know that, like, in CURU, there needs to be guidelines. We need this, and we need to ramp up, I suppose, like that, first of all, there's people within the HSE themselves, but then there's also, we are bringing in private providers to, you know, perform the assessments in the first place. But then often that it's someone on lower income, unfortunately, are the ones that are often being left that they can't afford the therapies either, you know. So it's like, it's a, I think it's a multifaceted approach that we're going to have to seriously look at training up people to assessment need, but also look at Section 38 and Section 39 workers that are part of those disability teams.
Right. Is the capacity even there at the moment, though? Because we heard, you know, the you know, that there are waiting lists even for private sector appointments as well, and the price has gone up. I mean, there was, you know, it was €1,200 for an assessment of need in the private sector at one point. There's now talk of it being over €2,000 in some cases as well. So obviously there is a supply and demand problem even in the private market.
And there is, and it's been going like, but I suppose again it's going back to the point that this hasn't happened overnight. I know it's not a solution, but this has been going on. Like, we have been calling this out for years, and even I suppose as Labour Party we brought that in 2022, was to bringing in private providers to be able to conduct the assessments and needs in the first place. So we were trying, and that was an initiative from Cara Dermody herself. She was the one that suggested it, and actually I was talking to our father Mark this morning, and he was saying when he raised this in the first place that, you know, you need to bring in private providers that her brothers could be assessed. And that, like, I suppose as a party, we'd be very much in favour of state employees. But, I mean, it served as a sticky plaster, but it's nowhere near enough. But it was a start.
Well, I just actually want to play a clip of a colleague of yours, Naois O'Carroll, the Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. He was talking about an example from Scotland that he was recommending in the debate. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
One of those is establishing a dedicated assessment hub. We need specialised centres staffed by multidisciplinary teams with a singular focus on clearing the backlog and providing timely, high-quality assessments. This model has been piloted successfully in Scotland, where dedicated hubs help to reduce assessment waiting times for children with developmental needs by over 50%. It's targeted, measurable and replicable. We could begin by piloting one in Kildare or another county which needs are demonstrably high. Second is to provide interim therapeutic access while awaiting assessment. And too many children have been denied any supports until the full process is complete. But in the UK and parts of Australia, families can access early intervention, speech and language therapy, OT or behavioural support based on flagged preliminary needs.
Should he not be asking, though, within his own party, why hasn't this happened already?
Yeah, well, that was the point I was going to make just a moment ago in relation to interim needs. And I think that's something that we have to do. I was going to also refer to the fact that back in 2021 and 2022 in Cork again, it was Minister Anne Rabbitt at the time actually went out and tendered for private therapists to actually reduce the backlog in Cork's assessment of needs at that time. And she dramatically reduced the list to the point that there was more or less, you know, no child waiting back in that period. And here we are 3 years on again. And I think personally the HSE have a lot to answer for in relation to that. And a lot of it comes back to the fact that there's so many vacancies. But as Naois rightly said, I do believe that in terms of a model going forward, we need to prioritise children that are, I suppose, in situ, that you can provide those therapies for in the interim. And as he said, it's that's what's done in other countries.
That's a Cosgrove, yeah.
Yeah, and I think in schools, I suppose, as well, have it, like, often when children are waiting for assessment to need that, they're not able to access the supports they need in schools. But if people are being assessed later on, we'll say in secondary schools as well, it's often supports like school completion projects or, you know, home mutilation service, those kind of projects that are holding an awful lot of young people in school that have additional needs and that they're not getting any supports in school. Possibly in primary school they are, and then they're like falling off a cliff when they get into secondary school, that the supports aren't there, and because they don't have a diagnosis either, you know. So I think it needs to be a very much intergovernmental approach.
But from what we heard today, Sarah McGuinness, you know, I think somebody cited the number of €7 million being spent fighting court battles over this issue of assessments of need. From what was said today, with the continued breach going to go on into the future, there'll be a lot more spent in courts on this.
Yeah, well, there might be and there might not be. Like, I have been looking a lot at special education in the last couple of weeks, like the amount of kids who have places in schools that are sanctioned places, but there just haven't been the prefabs or things delivered. And I was talking to one such mother in Dublin 15 and I was kind of like this is a constitutional breach, you know, like your child is entitled to take up this place in school. And he can't, and that's not your fault. So therefore, like, is there any talk of legal action? And just parents of kids who are waiting on assessment of needs or who have children who are diagnosed with additional needs, they're just so tired. Like, a lot of them are just so tired because it's a fight to get their assessment of need. It's a fight to get into a special education school. It's a fight for therapies. The whole thing is just completely withering. So many of those families are trying to keep their heads above water. So the people who are taking the state to court over this, fair play to them, because they have about a million and one other things to be worrying about.
Claire Curran, I was reading a court report last week about Cathy Sinnott, the ruling in her case to get her son free education, which wasn't a guaranteed entitlement before she took that court case. And it said Mr. Justice Barron's ruling in favour of Cathy Sinnott will be good news to the 1,200 other autistic people in the state. That's what the estimate of numbers was at the time. It's changed considerably since then. I mean, if there are 25,000 people potentially by the end of the year going to be on a waiting list, that may not even be the extent of the need.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, assessment of need is just one waiting list. You have your CDNTs, you have your primary care there. And I suppose there's so much more in terms of diagnosing now, in terms of autism and in terms of children with additional needs. But I think the most important thing here is that we take whatever action, and government will have full support from the opposition in any action that can be taken now to really take big, bold steps in tackling this issue once and for all. And I should say as well, huge credit to Cara Darmody at 14. I met her outside today, and I mean, to undertake what she's undertaken in terms of 50-hour protests, huge credit to her. And it's for her and other children whom she is very much a voice for that we have to try now to come together and do right by these children and get these waiting lists down once and for all.
Okay, for any parent or anybody who's interested in this listening and who has a sense of hopelessness about what they heard today in terms of numbers, you mentioned big bold steps, Claire Curran. So I'll go around the table on our political panel. Name one that you think would make a significant change.
Sorting out registration with Curragh, getting it done quicker. They've done it for OT. You can train in England, come back and get your recognition and get a job. It should be the same for speech and language, for psychology. We need to do all of that.
Okay.
Sorry, I'll repeat myself. I think we have to operate a model that gives schools, special schools, therapists, the flexibility to identify the need in a child. Like, you often see children, especially in early intervention at preschool level, that get those targeted supports that in most cases don't necessarily have a diagnosis. And I think that needs to be expanded further into the primary population.
Okay. Nessa Cosgrove?
I would set a date that the HSE, that they, you know, that they have to, when it has to meet its legal obligation. And that will come through, though, a sustainable work plan, a workforce plan about recruiting staff.